gave a parable. And in the parable, it was like this: whoever is in need is your neighbor. Whoever has a need that you can meet, that's your neighbor. So the parable by the Good Samaritan. So we have the gospel. And the gospel has brought us to Jesus. And then we received the gospel and we got saved. So now we got the gospel.
Yes.
So anybody that needs the gospel, guess what? You have the gospel to give.
Got the goods.
We got the goods. We got the goods. You can't give what you don't have. Unless you get it, you give it. Mm-hmm. And if you got salvation, you can give it.
Yes.
If you've been healed, you can give it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If you've been delivered and set free, you can give it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here we are, Lord.
Yes.
Send us.
Yes.
Send us. And I respect the neighborhoods. You know, on jobs for you to still work, I'm retired. Send us, Lord. Send us. Send us. Father God, we thank you for this another opportunity to bring your word today. And we say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, I know according to the word, and I know the word is true. I can't of my own self do nothing, God. But it's only through you we can do whatever we do. So, God, I thank you that I don't have to do anything by myself, mm-hmm. because you would never leave me nor forsake me. So, God, I say thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
So, Holy Spirit, have your way today, as you're already doing. And we thank you for whatever you want to do, Holy Spirit. We thank you. We yield to you doing it. Last week, the word of God was on changing the way we think. Changing the way we think. And this morning, I'd like to give the word that God has given me. Cast your care on Jesus. Cast your care on Jesus. Have you ever been told, take care? People say it all the time. They say, take care. And since I know the truth now, I'm thinking to myself, no, I'm not going to take care. I'm going to cast care. We don't take care, we cast care.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
We cast our cares. We cast our cares, we don't take care. And they don't know. I mean, it's just a saying. It's just a saying. So we don't take it. Because the Bible tells us to take our care. The Bible tells us to cast our care on Jesus. Let's go to 1 Peter 5 and 6. I read that Bible scripture. That's 5, 6, and 7. We want to learn how not to take our cares on ourselves, but to cast our cares on Jesus. And that's easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
That's easier said than done. We have cares every day. Every day something comes up you have to take care of. Every day. 1 Peter 5 and 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So what does it mean to cast? It means if I got this sheet of paper you would be there, I'm holding on to it. But if I want to cast it, that's right. I'm not going to go. You know, I'm casting it. You know, so casting means you take it off of you and you throw it somewhere else. Or you put it somewhere else.
Like fishing.
Like fishing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like casting. The only thing about the fishing, though, is you're still connected to the hook. And casting your care on Jesus, let everything go.
Mm-hmm.
You let it all go. You don't hold on to nothing. You let it all go. We don't want to pull that thing back up, do we?
No.
You want to just let it go. You want to put a fish up. The cat knows cares, you won't let it all go. You want to let it all go. So, yeah, give it all to him.
So with him, we won't lose the fish. We won't lose the sink and the hook at all, right?
We won't lose it all.
But with fishing, we want that fish.
When you're fishing, you want the fish to keep your, when you cast the line to get the fish, you pull it back and get the fish. But on casting the cares on Jesus, you let it all go. You don't want to pull it back. It's not like fishing. Not all the way. So what is a care? What are cares? Cares are distractions. You know, I really didn't realize that a care could be a distraction until I got it. But a care can be a distraction.
Yes.
It can be anxiety, which is worry. Mm-hmm. Cares bring disruption to our personality and our mind. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard people, seen people, they are so distracted with cares and worry that they don't act like themselves. Mm-hmm. Their personality is changing because they're so worried about whatever they're worried about.
Yes.
So cares can really hinder us in a whole bunch of ways. They're distractions, anxiety. They can bring disruption to us. So taking our cares upon ourselves, it actually changes our character. It changes our godly character because you're so worried about that care, you can't think about anything else.
Right.
And if you're so worried about a care and you don't think about anything else, you are not able to really get in contact and hear the mind of Christ, even though we got the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
God could be speaking, but you can't hear because you're so distracted with all these cares. So it's good not to keep hold on to a care, whatever it is, whatever you're worried about, whatever might be burdening you down, whatever you might be concerned about. If you're thinking about that thing all the time, that's a care. If it's bothering you, and especially and sometimes like this, you wake up with it and you lay back down with it,
mm-hmm.
and it's with you all day long, that's a care. And that is not what God wants for us. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2:16. So cares can disrupt our character, our godly character, our personality, and even disconnect us from the mind of Christ. Even though, according to 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We have the mind of Christ. Why is it good to have the mind of Christ? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:30. It's so important we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him, of God, the him is God, you are in Christ, who became for us wisdom from God. So Christ became what? Wisdom for us from God. Do y'all know something? I don't know everything. Guess what? You don't know everything. None of us know everything. So we need what? The wisdom of Christ.
Amen.
He knows everything.
Amen.
He knows everything. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is the power to perceive differently. The ability to think in a way that is energizing and full of faith. And the permission to cultivate a lifestyle that mixes your heavenly identity with your earthly circumstances. Not like that. Mixing our what? Our heavenly identity with our earthly circumstances. We all need wisdom. We all need wisdom in our everyday circumstances. We're going to have cares. Cares are going to come. And so we need to not let those cares be to the point where we cannot hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. We cannot hear the wisdom of God that's already what, on the inside of us. Christ is on the inside of us, so we have all the answers we need, what, on the inside of us. We have everything we need on the inside of us. Have you ever tried to figure out something, the thing is, when you're trying to figure out something sometimes, you already think you know how to do it. You think you know how to do it, so then you start doing it. And it don't come out the way you want to. You just can't figure it out. But guess what we do? We keep trying to figure it out. We keep working on that thing. And it get to be a care. But instead of casting that care on the Lord with prayer and asking for the wisdom of God, we keep trying to do it. We keep stirring that thing and messing with it, stirring it and messing with it. And it gets worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. I'm like that when I'm trying to figure out a computer thing. I'll work with it and work with trying to figure it out, trying to get it straight. And then all of a sudden, I get this bright idea. Why didn't I pray? Why did I cast that care on the Lord? Why did I not give it to him and let him work it out? I don't know, do you like I do my kids? They said, Mama, you always using us for an illustration. But I know this is about Tyler, but we don't mind. Tyler had a project to do. He had to work on that project and get it straight, but he made 100. He told me he made 100 today. And to Tyler, probably trying to do all that stuff was tedious and was a lot of care to it. And I don't know, but I'm probably thinking that Tyler probably prayed. I know Mom and Dad probably prayed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you pray in those situations. And when you, and it's in prayer, you what? You cast that care over on the Lord. Mm-hmm. You cast it on him because what? He's smarter than we are. It's a simple message today, but it's one that we still need.
Yes.
And I know I still need it because sometimes I try to work that thing out. It's a distraction. It's anxiety on me. Mm-hmm. And I forget to instantly cast it on him. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I want to get to the place where I instantly, my first thought is, Lord, this is yours.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like that in something, but it's not like that in everything yet.
Right.
I want to say, Lord, this is yours. Because I find out when I say, Lord, this is yours, and I cast it on Jesus, everything works out.
Yes.
All of a sudden, all the anxiety is gone. Mm-hmm. All the distractions is gone. And all of a sudden, I start getting these downloads. Y'all ever get a download?
Yeah.
Yes.
Holy Spirit start giving you downloads. Oh, yeah. Do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you do it.
Yes.
How are you getting downloads when you're doing your projects? Mm-hmm. You getting the downloads when you're doing your project?
Just insert some images to make it more creative.
Mm-hmm. Gotta give you downloads. Those ideas and stuff we get, did you know that's not you because you're not that smart?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know it is from the Lord?
Yes.
He would give you stuff like that. I had this care one time. We was living in our first house we lived in. And in the house we lived in that time, the way we had it built was you go down the hall and the bathroom was on this side. And then the bedroom was on the back. But you had to go down like this, and then like this, and then like this. And so when my children left home, I got this bright idea. I'm going to take my son's room. I'm going to make me an office den something. Have me a woman cave or something. And so we took that room, and I had a couch I wanted to bring down the hall into that room. And my husband and my son tried every way they could to get that couch down that hall and in that room. And it would go. You couldn't turn that corner with it. Mm-hmm. And so I said, wait a minute. It was a care. And it was creating anxiety. So I said, wait a minute. Let's just stop and think. And I stopped and prayed, so I did. So I went and I prayed about it. And the Holy Spirit said this. He said, take the couch, stand it straight up, take it down, turn it. Get to the room.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back to my side. I know how to do it, man. I was standing up, take it down the hall like this, and then you can turn it. Mm-hmm. Worked out.
Yeah.
It worked out. Because what? I cast my care over on the Lord. Yes. I cast my care on him, and he gave me wisdom.
Yes.
Look, it's like I just told you, I mixed my heavenly identity with my earthly circumstance. What's our heavenly identity? Our identity is that we are new creations in Christ Jesus. I have a new born again spirit, and you do too. And in our born again spirits, we have Christ. And in our born again spirits, we got Christ, we got the mind of Christ. My problem that I had to handle was a simple problem. But did you not know that there are technology people and scientists and mathematicians that God give them answers to their problems?
Absolutely.
I've heard them say it on television. They God give them solutions. And when you're working, if you need a solution and you don't know how to do something, what do? You stop, you cast that care on the Lord, and you ask for a solution. And he gives it to you. Then you'd be like, Tyler, you get 100 on your exam.
Amen.
On your presentation, you get 100. Let's look at James 3:17. Why is it so important that we cast our care on the Lord and then allow him to give us his wisdom as opposed to earthly wisdom? James 3:17 says this. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit, so God's wisdom, that's from above, is first pure. It's first pure. Then it's peaceable and gentle.
Yes.
Willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality or hypocrisy. You know? Bro, you're not looking right.
That's right. In the name of Jesus.
So we want that wisdom that's from above.
Yes.
Because wisdom from above is pure. It has everything in it we need. And it's peaceable and gentle.
Thank you, Lord.
And it's willing to yield.
Mm-hmm.
It's willing to yield. So if you're willing to yield to God when he gives you an ideal or give you something, after you cast your care on him, then you know that's from above.
Mm-hmm.
The wisdom that comes from God is not pushy. It's not demanding. But that wisdom from God is gentle, is pure. You have a willingness to yield to that wisdom because you know it's the wisdom of God. And not partiality, without hypocrisy. And I like that about God.
Mm-hmm.
God has no respect of person. He doesn't have no respect for person. The same thing that's available to me is available to Mary.
Amen.
It's available to Eve.
Yes.
And Noella and all of you.
Yes.
God does not stand back and just give some to some and not to others.
Amen.
But all his promises are for all of us.
Yes.
We can have as much of God as we want. We can have the answer to every situation we get into.
Mm-hmm.
We can cast every care we have on him. It's not like he's saying, I'll take some, but I'm going to take it all. Or you gave me too much yesterday, so give me so much today. He's not like that. Whatever we need to cast on him, we can cast on him.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
And he will always what? Give us what we need.
Mm-hmm.
Faithful. Yes.
Yes, he is faithful. He will give us what we need. Let's look at 1 Peter 5:8. The Lord gave me this scripture one time. I want to say this. When God give you a scripture, for whatever reason he might give you that scripture, pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
Meditate on that scripture. God's giving you a scripture for a reason. If God speaks a word to you, Write that word down.
Yeah.
It could be one word. Mm-hmm. Write it down. Meditate on it. Ask God why did he give it to you? What do he want you to do with it? Do with it. Pay attention to everything the Holy Spirit speaks to you. 1 Peter 5:9 says this. 5:8 first. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil loves to get us all bogged down with cares.
Mm-hmm.
He loves to get us all bogged down with anxieties. He loves to get us all distracted. So we can't have time for the word of God. We can't have time to hear what God is saying to us. We can't allow have time for God to do the work in us he wants to do in us. He loves to get us distracted. He loves to do that. But the Bible says, be sober. Don't be intoxicated with all the things in this world. Don't be all moved by all the things in this life. But be sober. Know what you're doing. Know what the word of God says. Be open to the word of God. Be sober. I've never been drunk before. So I don't know exactly how a drunk person would be. Well, I do know because I've seen drunk people. I've been in my family. So, but a drunk person is not sober. So they don't know what's going on. Matter of fact, some stuff could be going on, and once they get sober, they don't even know what happened. They don't, because they're intoxicated.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be intoxicated by something more than alcohol. Mm-hmm. You can be intoxicated by the moment, by friends, by situation, by different things that come along, anything that gets you all so wound up that you can't hear what God is saying and you don't know how to cast that thing on the Lord because you don't know and can't discern when you're not sober.
Mm-hmm.
What you're supposed to keep and what you're supposed to cast.
That's right.
But the Bible tells us what? Be sober. Be sober. Be vigilant. Vigilant means to be watchful. Be watchful. Be watchful. Don't allow the enemy to get you all intoxicated with circumstances.
Amen.
But be sober. Be vigilant. Be watchful. Why? Because our adversary, the devil, he's our enemy. He walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Did y'all know the enemy cannot devour anybody he wants to devour?
No, he can't.
He can't do that. If he could, he would already done it. He can't do it. And we act like he got so much power when the word of God said Jesus took out all power and authority been given to Jesus.
Yeah.
So the enemy does not have any.
Hallelujah.
So you should not be afraid of anything the devil tries to do or says to you. And once you know the truth, you recognize a lie.
Amen.
When they want to keep someone from taking counterfeit money, they don't study the counterfeit. They study the real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because if you know the real, then you'll know where a counterfeit comes from. Yeah. If you know the truth of the word of God, you'll know when the lie comes.
Amen.
You'll know when the lie comes. And so the enemy is looking around, trying to find someone that don't know the truth. That will listen to a lie.
Mm.
Because when we believe the lie, we empower the lie. If you don't believe the lie, it has no power. It has to go. So we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. 1 Peter 5:9 says, resist him, steadfast in the faith. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. One but a few months ago, the Lord a few months ago, sometime this year, first of this year, the Lord spoke one word to me, and he said, steadfast. Steadfast. So what does it mean to resist the devil? Means is to not agree with him. If you disagree with the devil, don't agree with him, you're resisting him. Steadfast in the faith. So what does steadfast mean? Steadfast means I'm not going to be moved. I'm going to stay on the truth. I'm going to stay where God has put me. I'm going to stay on the path God has put me on. I'm not going to deviate one way or the other. But I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to be steadfast. Not everybody's steadfast. Some people are here today, over here, and tomorrow they're somewhere else. And, you know, they're not steadfast. That's it. Toss to and fro. But God wants to be what? Steadfast.
Amen.
Be steadfast in what? In the faith.
Yes.
Be steadfast in the word of God.
Yes.
Be steadfast. We are learning to be steadfast. We are learning how, what? Cast all our cares on him, for he cares for us.
Yes.
And once you know God cares for you and you cast that care, you don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes we think that we got to work it out. We got to do it because we don't believe God's going to do it for us. We don't trust him enough to do it for us. We don't think he's faithful enough to do it for us. But if you trust God and you don't have any problem casting that thing over on him and giving it to him and letting him work it out. So I want to say today, you stop trying to work it out yourself. If you got anything you're trying to work out for yourself, stop trying to do
Amen.
It.
Please.
And cast that thing on the Lord and let him work it out.
Yeah.
Because the more you try to work it out, it ain't going to come out right. The more we try to do stuff and not let the Lord do it, we make a mess.
Yeah.
I've made many a mess on things I try to work out myself. I try to do it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I ain't the only one in here.
Mm-hmm.
So let the Lord do it.
Mm-hmm.
Cast your care on him and let him work it out.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Be sober. Be vigilant. Be watchful. If you're not watchful, if you think you got a watchful, a person's not watchful, think they got it all together sometimes.
Yeah.
They think, I got this. I got it all. I mean, I know this.
Oh, they got it.
I got it. Yeah. And that's not being sober and vigilant. If you think you got it all together, you headed for the wrong thing.
If I can get it.
But if you know, okay, Lord, I know I need you. I know I can handle this on my own. Even Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. If Jesus couldn't do it by himself, what do you think about us? If Jesus needed the Father, what about us?
Hallelujah.
What about us? So don't take your care. Cast your care on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Cast it on him. Cast it on him. Let's go to Philippians 4:6. Remember now, be sober, be vigilant. Resist the enemy and be steadfast in the faith. We'll cast that thing on the Lord. Philippians 4:6 says this: be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. I think the King James would be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. How do I cast my care? How do I cast my care? Philippians tells us, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Don't have anxiety about anything. Don't allow anything to distract you. But in everything, in how many things?
Everything.
How many things?
Everything.
In everything. By prayer and supplication. Pray about it. Pray about it. Supplication means if I gotta keep praying about it, I might have to cry about it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I might have to be in worship sometimes But I'm going to do whatever the Holy Spirit leads me to do about everything. And then I'm going to do it what? With thanksgiving. Now I'm going to pray about it. Prayer and supplication. I mean, I might have to cry out to God. I might have to cry a little bit, but I'm going to stay right there with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stay right there with it. And then I'm going to add some thanksgiving to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to add some thanksgiving to it. And I'm going to let my request be made known to God.
Amen.
And it's not that God don't already know it. Even our cares that we cast on him, God already knows it. But
yes.
God wants us to ask him.
Yes.
Someone put it this way. I sold my house and now I lease a place to stay. And the place that I lease is mine as long as I lease it, even though I don't own it.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that I lease it from, they can't come in anytime they want to without my permission.
Mm-hmm.
They have to get my permission to come in, even though they own the property.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to get my permission to come in. Mm-hmm. When they, like next week, somebody's supposed to come spray for bugs and everything, but they can't come in unless I give them permission to come
in.
And that's the way God is. God owns the whole world. We belong to him. But God's a gentleman. He is not going to come in and take, even though he knows you need it. He's not going to come in and just take over. He wants us to let our request be made known unto him.
Thank you, Father.
He wants us to invite him in. He wants us to give it to him.
Yeah.
He's a gentleman. Holy Spirit's a gentleman. Did you not know if you don't allow Holy Spirit to use you, he won't do it? He's not going to make you do anything.
No.
He's not going to make you speak.
No.
He's not going to make you do. But if you allow him to, he will work through you.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us the unction. Look, and we put the steps to go do it. He gives us what to say. We open our mouth and say it. You might tell Miss Sheila, go down and do so and so and so. Well, it's up to Miss Sheila to obey, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And go do what the Holy Spirit say. He's not gonna say, Miss Sheila, if you don't go do it, you better. He's a gentleman. He don't do stuff like that. So make your request known unto God. Let God know what you need.
Yeah.
And once you do that, verse 7 says, Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God.
This peace.
And the peace of God. His peace, Dan said. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know why you're peaceful. They see all the cares just like you do.
Yes.
But you're going to cast that care over on Jesus and it doesn't look like you ought to be peaceful.
Yeah.
You done made your request known to the Lord, but it don't look like you ought to be peaceful because what? Nothing has not changed in the natural. But guess what's happened? On the inside, you have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you don't have that thing. It's no longer yours. It belongs to the Lord. And now what? Because you've done that, you have the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. And that peace will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have peace about something, you need to stop and wait.
Yes.
And say, okay, God, am I supposed to do this? I'm waiting on you because I don't have peace about this. Don't do it if you don't have peace. When you have the peace of God, then you can go ahead with it. Because the peace of God surpasses all understanding. Does it look like I should be peaceful about this thing? It doesn't look like it's going to work out. But God said, I've given it to him. He's got it. So I know it's going to be all right. So now I got peace.
Mm-hmm.
I can leave it alone now because I got peace. I've cast it on him. I've given it to him. I'm not anxious about it anymore. I've made my request known to him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sober. I'm vigilant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm staying steadfast.
Yes.
And God has it now.
Mm-hmm.
So I can walk in the peace of God. And that peace of God will guard my heart and my mind from the enemy. Because the enemy's going to try to come back and get you to take that care back. Remember Dan said about yanking the fish up out of the water? The enemy going to want you to take that care back. But no, now we have the peace of God, so I don't have to take it back. Jesus has it. He has it. And I might not see the results of him having it right today.
Mm-hmm.
It might take a little while for my circumstances to change in that area. But I got peace. And my peace let me know it's okay. My peace let me know that God got this thing, that Jesus has it, and he's working it out. I don't have to try to work it out anymore. He's working it out. And then verse 8 of Philippians 4 says, finally, brothers, what do you do then? Whatsoever things are true, that's what you meditate on. That's what you think about. What's true? The truth be it, the word told me, I need to cast all my cares upon Jesus because he cares for me. And I can think about that. You can think about that. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just in that situation, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You don't take that care back. You don't think about that care. You don't start meditating on that care again. But you meditate on the word of God. You meditate on what's true, what's noble, what's just, what's pure, what's lovely, what's of a good report. You meditate on those things, not the care. Not the care. Sometimes it's a person that the care is about. Why don't you try just thinking about some things about that person, some good things about that person?
Mm-hmm.
What's good about that person? What is it that they do good? You know, sometimes we got problems with people and we think about it. We think about all the problems we got about it. We think about all the faults and all the downfalls. Well, you know what? There's something good you can think about that person. So think about the good things about that person's character. Think about the good things. I'm going to read you what Philippians 4:8 in the Passion Translation says. It says this. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. Praising him always.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts? What's in your thought life? You know, take those cares and cast them on Jesus because he cares for you. Stop meditating on them. Meditate on the things in the word of God that God tells us to meditate on. Second Corinthians 9:8, we're ready to close. Second Corinthians 9:8 says this. And God is able. Second Corinthians 9:8. And God is able. And God is able in all the situations we go through to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. That you always, always mean always, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
So that means there's no care that could come upon you, no situation that God had already made sufficient for you to get through it.
Yes.
You can cast that thing because God cares for you. He can make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work.
Every good work.
We have grace for every good work.
Thank you, Lord.
Every good work, we got grace for it.
God
is able. The Bible says he's able. We're not able in everything, but God is able.
Amen.
If you cast a care upon him, you can do that because he cares for you, then God is able to work that thing out. He's able. He's given us all sufficiency in all things. We can do it by the grace of God. But we're not the ones actually doing it. But God's grace is sufficient and it's working through us to get it done. So don't take your care. Stop taking cares. Don't hold on to distractions and anxieties. We're going to have things to do in this world. There's going to be responsibilities. We all have responsibilities. We're going to have more responsibilities. But just because you have a responsibility, don't mean you have to take that responsibility onto yourself to care of it. Because we have God. We have God our Father. We have the grace of God. We can cast that thing over on him. And we can say, Lord, I don't know how to do this, but you do.
Yes.
I don't know what I need to do, God, but you do.
Yes.
And I can't handle this situation, God, but you do. You can. So what I'm going to do, Lord, is I'm going to cast it over on you. Because you care about me. God cares about everything that concerns us. He cares about it all. We can cast our care over on him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your word that you've given us. We've got to cast all our cares upon you. Because Father, you care for us. You care for us. You love us. You're faithful to us. So we ask your Holy Spirit to remind us to cast our care. Remind us to make our request known unto the Lord. Remind us to ask for help.
Yes.
Remind us to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us.
Thank you, Father.
To receive the mind of Christ. To receive that wisdom we need in every situation.
Yes, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. God, we just want to say thank you. We give you glory, give you praise. We magnify your name. And we say thank you, Father God. God, we thank you that your word says it's through faith and patience that we inherit the promise. So sometimes, God, we realize we just need patience.
Thank you, Lord.
We just need patience. After we cast that thing upon you, and make our requests made known to you, God. Sometimes we just need to be patient. Just let you work it out. God, we thank you for that peace that surpasses all understanding that comes when we know, okay, I don't have this anymore. God, you got it. And I'm going to let you keep it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, God. We say thank you. We bless you today. Thank you, Father God, that you're with us always. You're always with us. You have our best interest in heart. We give you glory, give you praise, and we magnify your name. And God, we say thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we love you, Lord. But the most important thing, God, is that you first loved us.
Yes.
And because you love us, we can love you. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you that we are new creations in Christ Jesus.
Yes, God.
Help us to see one another as new creations. Help us to see one another in the spirit and not in the flesh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Are there any prayer requests?